Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. With the storms in life, it's not a matter of if they will come, but when they will come. When life gets shaky and feels chaotic, where is it that you turn? Who or what do you hold on to? Thankfully for Christians, the scriptures tell us that we have a steady and secure anchor for our souls that we can grab hold of no matter what comes our way. We'll explore what this means in this series. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. Hello once again. This week we are in week three of our Anchored series. So if you've missed the first couple, you can go online and watch them on back on the YouTubes or maybe we got them on the Apple Podcasts, all that fun stuff. So this week I'm going to start off talking about something that I do enjoy, which I think you guys know this. I enjoy sports, and in particular my favorite would be football. I enjoy cheering for my teams and watching good games and all that fun stuff. And within that realm, there's this thing called fantasy sports that I also enjoy, and fantasy football is at the top of my fantasy sports list. Have any of you ever participated in a fantasy league of any kind? You've made a team, maybe as a family league or something with your friends. Nice, couple ladies doing it. I appreciate that. So the basic idea of fantasy sports, whether it's like baseball or basketball or football or whatever, is that everybody kind of gets together. Maybe it's you and like, you know, it's 10 of you, a bunch of friends or a bunch of family members or whatever. And before the season starts for that sport, you pick your players. And so you might have like, let's just say 15 players that you pick, and everybody picks that player, but only one person can have that particular player. You know what I'm saying? So like only one person gets LeBron James, or only one person gets Lamar Jackson, or only one person, like whatever your person is, you have that person and you have them for the year. Maybe you trade them away or whatever. But and then from there, each week, you're competing against somebody else in your league, and your players, depending how they do in real life, whether they do good or bad, gives you a score that then determines, did I beat this person, and did my players have a better week than their players did, or did the opposite happen and I lose, okay? And so you go and you do this all season long for whatever sport you're in, and at the end, a champion is crowned. There's like a playoff situation, and I'm in leagues for fantasy football. I don't do other sports. I will confess to you, all right, this is a confession time. I'm in 7 leagues, okay? Now, the season's over, so I'm not really in them anymore. Don't judge me, Kate. But that's a lot of leagues. I probably need to drop a couple. I probably have a problem, and I'm going to do nothing about it, okay? It's a lot of fun for me, little hobby. In a lot of these leagues, for the most part, there's some sort of prize at the end. There's maybe a trophy involved as well, something we get to pass around. In one of my leagues, there's this jug. I don't know if you know this, but there's a rivalry in college sports where the trophy is a jug that they pass back and forth between the teams, and this is what we chose as our fantasy football trophy. It's just a big old jug that people have written their names on it as they've won year after year and all that kind of stuff. So it's really fun to win and get like the prize in the end, but there's a darker side to all of this as well, because in some of my leagues, if you lose, like if you're the biggest loser, you're just the worst team all year, there's a, I won't call it a prize, but a consequence in some of these leagues, okay? And some people do it this way. I don't have these in my leagues right now. But in some leagues, it's like, you know, the little border thing you can get around your license plate if you've ever seen cars with it. Maybe it has their favorite team on it. Or maybe it just has, like, where they're from or some kind of funny phrase. Well, some leagues will do, hey, if you lose, you have to have a little border license plate thing that says, I stink at fantasy football, and you have to have it on your car for the entirety of the year. I've seen some people do, like, you got to have a unicorn phone case with, like, a little bubble, like a little talk bubble or whatever, speech bubble saying, I'm bad at fantasy football, and you have to have that on your phone for the entire year. Now, I don't have anything like that. Mine are much steeper. And in two of my leagues, the consequence is what we call the Waffle House Challenge. I don't know if you've heard about this, but you have to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. However, for every waffle you eat, you get to take an hour off. So if you eat 12 waffles over the course of 20, well, really shorter than 24 hours, you get to only be there for 12 hours. Isn't that nice? And that's a consequence if you're one of the worst teams. Now, I have avoided consequences. For all the years that I've played fantasy football, I've never truly been the worst team, at least in one of the leagues that has a consequence. And I've been playing fantasy football for longer than all of you middle schoolers have been alive, okay? So That's a lot of years to not face consequences until this year. And my consequence is not, in this particular league, it's not the Waffle House Challenge. It's not some sort of silly thing that reminds people everywhere that I stink at fantasy football or dressing up in some weird costume. Like, it's nothing like that. My consequence, my friends, is I have to go sit on a Saturday morning with a few of your peers who are a little bit older than you, and I have to take, as a 34-year-old man, father of two, married for almost 11 years, I have to take the SAT. Which, if you don't know, is a college prep test, like basically a college proficiency test to see, hey, like, do you have the scores to get into college or certain colleges, the higher your scores are and all that kind of fun stuff. It's something that most of you will not take until high school, and that will be the last time that you take it, is in high school. And that's what I thought. I took the SAT one time. I got just good enough score to get into the school that I needed to get into, and I never thought I'd do it again. And now here I am. I got to sign up, and at some point this spring, I'm going to be taking the SAT. So, just because I lost. Now, the league's going to pay for half of it. Guys, it's like $70 to take the SAT now. Do you know that? That's kind of crazy. But so, there's a way that you could pray for me. Now, let's be real. If I was taking the SAT, which I actually am, but if I was taking it, like, for real, like, hey, I would study for it. I'm not going to study when I take it this time. Like, there's no point. I'm not trying to get into college. I would study for it. I would prep for it because it is, like, an important thing. When you take a test, unless it's some goofy situation like I find myself in, typically you're taking a test to see, hey, did you actually learn the stuff? And can you now share it with somebody else? Or can you actually do the thing? It's not always written tests that we take for different subjects in school, but sometimes it's a sport-related thing. Like, hey, have you practiced? Have you learned the plays? If it's maybe some sort of like martial arts test or whatever, it's, hey, do you know all the forms and do you know all the different things? Like, can you do what the test is testing you on? Do you know what the test is asking of you? And when it comes to game day or test day or that time in practice when you're put to the test or whatever, it's either a pass or fail. Like, either you do know those things or you don't. Either you can do those things or you don't. And or you can't, rather. And the truth is, it's not just in subjects at school or your favorite sport or maybe a musical instrument or whatever your thing is that we get tested, but it is in life in general that we get tested. And every time we are tested, it does reveal some underlying truth about us. And in a lot of ways, this has to do with our Anchored series. I think that in life, when the storms come, the rain blows, which actually is fun enough, what we were just singing about is also what we're talking about this morning, that when the storms of life come, you actually see, are you anchored in Christ? Are you anchored in, remember week one, we talked about God's word, his character, and his son, or are you anchored in something else? When life gets crazy and chaotic, are you holding on to the anchor and so you're able to stand firm and stay steady because you're hanging on to the one who is those things, steady and firm and a rock? Or when the storms of life come, do they reveal that, hey, maybe actually you're not following, hanging on, maybe you haven't built your life on the things that you thought you did? This morning we're going to read in Matthew chapter 7. This is the first book of the New Testament, a little bit over halfway through your Bible. If you want to turn there, we'll be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, just a few verses for us this morning. And here's where we find ourselves is Jesus is wrapping up in the last words of a sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe if you've been in church, you've heard some of these things before. If you even haven't been in church, I think it's Jesus's most famous sermon. And if you want to read through it, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Kind of easy, just three chapters of the Bible, and you can read through Jesus's sermon. And the whole time, he's talking about all kinds of different things. He's talking about anger and what to do with our anger. He talks about lust. He talks about prayer. He talks about how to relate to other people, forgiveness. All kinds of things are spoken about how to live in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think in a lot of ways, the Sermon on the Mount kind of is like, it's Jesus's like pinnacle sermon, if you will. It's on a mountain, kind of on a pinnacle point, but it kind of encapsulates, hey, this is how to live the Christian life. In fact, at the beginning of it, Jesus kind of starts talking about our identity. All kinds of really important things are in the Sermon on the Mount. And as one does, as Jesus shows as an example here, anytime you're teaching or given a sermon or a message, what you're trying to do is get people to a place where, hey, by the end of what we're talking about, here's a little insight into teaching a sermon. By the end of what we're talking about for the day or for the message, like, hey, I want you to now do something with this. Like, maybe I want you to change how you think about something. Maybe it kind of tweaks or solidifies a little more of your belief. Or I actually want you to go and do something based on what we've talked about. Like, really, that's kind of the questions you should be asking yourself anytime you listen to a sermon. You should be asking, hey, Lord, what is it that you want me to know based on what we're talking about? What is something you want me to do? Is there a way I need to change how I think? Like, you need to be asking yourself, what's a takeaway for the message that I'm listening to? I think that's always really, really important. And Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, and anytime he taught, was just the same. He was trying to help people get to a place that's maybe a little bit different, maybe a little bit further along than when they initially started listening to him. And so he wraps up kind of giving them a final charge based on all the things that he's been talking to them about. And here is what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house," just like we were singing about. "But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." How many of you have heard these words before or something like it? This picture, this imagery of building your house on the solid rock, the firm foundation, versus building your house on the sand. Good. Many of you have heard about it. Maybe you have thought about pictures of it, but I've got a picture for you to kind of solidify in your mind. You can go ahead and put that up there. We got the solid rock, this house, pretty sweet house, nice and modern, built on rock versus this house on the side that was built on sinking sand, which is not ideally, that's not where I want to live, at least, okay, is in that house on the right side there. So what's the idea here? We've got this imagery. We've got the houses. Does anybody want to take a jab at Jesus talking about these houses, building your house on a different foundation? What is the house representative of? Yes, Oliver. It's built of, it's us, right? It's our lives. It's our faith, but it's more than our faith. It's our whole life. Jesus is saying that it's important for us to think about what we build our entire life on. That for some of us, we will build our lives. We will be what? He actually describes it as if you build your house on a solid foundation, if you build your house on solid rock, a firm foundation, if you build your house on something like that, you are like the wise man. He says it's wise to do that. I mean, based on this picture, I think we can see why. Because when you build your house, an actual house, on a good foundation, it stays up. It withstands hard times. Over time, it's more likely to last. Versus, he says, if you build your life, if you've built yourself on a foundation that is not so sturdy, on a foundation that is shaky, on a foundation that is made out of sand, to use Jesus' words, which I know oftentimes we probably think about sand being like at the beach or whatever, which I think that's fine to think about. For Jesus' original listeners, they would have been able to like actually picture places in the land where they lived and where they grew up that were really sandy and didn't have a very firm foundation. Places that were really dry. And Jesus says, if you build your house, your life, on a foundation that is more like sand, that over time, when the storms come, the rain blows, or the wind blows, the rain beats down on your house, your life, it's going to collapse. I've kind of already given away, but if the house is our life, like Oliver helped us see, what do you think the storms are that Jesus talks about? The rain and the wind and the, somebody other than Oliver, yeah. Yeah, like the problems, the challenges, the trials. To use our word from the beginning, the tests of life. That when hard things come our way, that's actually what's going to reveal what kind of foundation is your house built on? What kind of foundation is your life built on? You know, the truth is, like, you could build a house on sand, and it would last for a little bit. Like, you could go in there and live in there and have your family in there. Yeah, but as soon as a storm comes, as soon as all the water comes and hits the sand that's underneath your house, as soon as hard times come to that home that's built on sand, the thing's going to start to collapse and look like the house that's here on the left side of the screen. When the storms of life come, which are the trials and the tests, the hard things, the things you can't control, the things you can't see, it actually reveals, hey, is your life built on a firm foundation or is it not? Is your life built on something that's firm and steady and solid rock or is it not? So what is the firm, steady, solid rock foundation? Because I don't know about you, but again, I want to build my house on the rock. Like, I don't want to be moved. I don't want to be so easily shaken. I don't want, like, every time a trial or a test comes to fall flat on my face. I want to hold on to something. I want to build my life on something that is firm and steady. And Jesus here tells us in the first verse that we read, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus says here that the firm foundation is him and his words. It's Jesus and his words. He says, hey, if you've built your house brick by brick or piece of wood by piece of wood or shingle by shingle, if you've built your house over time, if you've built your life following me and my words, you will be like the wise man. Again, Jesus gets to the end of his sermon and he's talking about all these different things of how to live. And then he's pointing back to it and says, hey, if you hear my words, which I know all of you have because you've been on this mountainside listening to me, but not just hear them, but do them. That's how you're like a wise man and build your house on a firm foundation. See, I think here's where we get a little mixed up. Is I know if you've been with us for these last few messages, like you've heard everything that we've said in this Anchored series so far. But when push comes to shove, when life throws you something that you're not anticipating, sometimes I think it's often the Lord who brings a test along your path, along your way. The book of James actually talks about that if you're curious. When things get hard, it's revealed to us sometimes, hey, maybe I haven't really been trusting God like I thought I was. I think for many of us in this room, if I were to actually give you a paper test, like you could tell me, oh yeah, Jesus, he's the Son of God. He died on the cross and he raised for my sins 3 days later, conquering sin and death. Like, you know the right things because you've been in church. But Jesus is saying, hey, it's not just enough to hear the words and know my words, but if you truly know me and you hear me, then you need to listen to them as well. And that's how you build a firm foundation. That's what faith lived out looks like. Not just saying that you believe something with your lips, but then going and living like you believe it. And many of us in here, we say it, but we're not living it. And we say it, and because we're not living it, we're actually not really building our lives on a firm foundation. Because you cannot separate Jesus from his words. It would be like if you told me, yeah, I play this sport, I play soccer, I play volleyball, whatever your thing of choice is, and I'm like, man, that's great. Like, do you have a coach in your life who's really helped you? And you're like, oh, my coach is the best. And I start saying, well, hey, how have they told you to improve and get better at your craft? And you're like, well, you know, soccer, like I practice juggling, or I practice shooting on goal, or I'm a keeper, and so I practice, like I have my siblings come and just, you know, kick a bunch of balls at me, and my coach told me to do all that stuff. And then I ask you, like, so you're doing that and you're like actively getting better? No, not really. But you said you had a good coach, but you're not doing any of the things that your coach told you to do. Do you see how weird that sounds? How do you even know your coach is a good coach if you haven't even seen any of the things that they're talking about go into practice and actually work? And I think it's on a much grander scale. The same thing with Jesus. Do you really know him if you're not hearing his words and actually doing his words? Are you really building your life on this firm foundation if you've separated Jesus from the things that he says? I think not.
I think Jesus says the same thing here. So for us, here's what it looks like to live. Because not just talking, like we're in this anchored series. We're talking about right now what it means to live as someone who is anchored in Christ. It's not just saying one thing with your lips, but it's doing something with your life. Building it on the firm foundation. So when you have opportunities, one of the things Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount is forgiveness. When you have opportunities in a small way to forgive someone for a small offense, you know what you're doing? Every time you forgive them and practice what Jesus says, you are actively building your life on a firm foundation. Because as you do, eventually you're going to have a big thing that needs forgiven. But I think in some ways what Jesus is getting at here is because you've been practicing forgiveness in the little things, you're also going to be able to do forgiveness in the big things. Jesus talks about what to do with our anger. Like when you get upset at a sibling maybe for beating you in some silly game, are you able to come back and say, I forgive you? Are you able to control your anger? Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Because one day there's going to be big things that cause some big emotions in you, some big storms and tests of your emotions. Are you going to be able to hold fast to the anchor, or will your emotions get the best of you and reveal, hey, maybe you haven't been building your life on the firmest of foundations after all? Whatever it is for you, all these little things that happen are tests and opportunities for us to build our life, because when the true storms of life come, it's going to be revealed what you've been building your life on the whole time. So, a couple questions in closing, because I think what Jesus says is pretty straightforward. We're supposed to be hearers and doers of his words. We can't separate Jesus from the way that he's called us to live, and that when we live like he's called us to, when we hold fast to him in the midst of those things, that's actually what it looks like to live an anchored life. So if I were to ask you, where have you built your foundation? Would you say that it's on Jesus, and here's how I know it? Or would you say, I think my foundation might be a little bit shakier than I thought? What does it look like for you and I to not just profess Jesus with our lips, but believe him with our lives and cling to him with our lives? To actually live out his words, be hearers and doers of his words? I think that that's another question that's worth us considering today. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us to think well about not just who you are, but who you've called us to be, how you've called us to live. I don't want to be someone in the crowd who thinks that I've built my life on a firm foundation only to find out when the storms come, the rain and wind hits my house, that I realize, man, my foundation isn't as firm as I thought it was. Help us to practice in little ways what it looks like to live the words that Jesus says, to be hearers and doers of the way that he has called us to live. And to know that as we do, we are building our house on the firm foundation, which is you and your character and your son. Help us to stay anchored in those things, in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.